Good morning and welcome to the February 7th, 2023 Sussex County Council meeting. First thing is the approval of the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Raleigh. Any questions on the motion? Take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Raleigh.
Yes.
We got motion carried. We had the minutes of January 31st. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay, now's the time for public comment. Anybody signed up in the back, Chip? Wouldn't that be cool? Let's see who signed up. And when you come forward, you're going to have 3 minutes to address council on something we have some control over, interest in. The street lights up here, the green light goes on when you start. When amber comes on, you got a minute left. When the red comes on, you are done. Jill Hicks.
Good morning, my name is Jill Hicks. I live in Chapel Green, Lewis, and I am on the board of the Sussex Preservation Coalition. I am here to discuss the need to reevaluate and amend the cluster subdivision code. I am not here to retry Coral Lakes. However, as the poster child, it provides clear evidence to make an indisputable case. First is a matter of buffers. The perimeter buffer of 30 feet is insufficient and commonly ignored by developers. With Brentwood, formerly known as Coral Lakes, the developers stated they were going to leave a 30-foot forested buffer and then intentionally cleared beyond that. The perimeter buffer needs to be reevaluated and amended to avoid what you are about to see. This also underscores the need for a tree ordinance. This playset is on our property. As you can see, we are now left with less than 15-foot buffer, and cutting the existing forest back this far puts the trees on our property and our playset at risk. My neighbors and I ask that the County Council and Planning and Zoning please make sure that native trees are replanted in the buffer and that the homes are built with no less than 50 feet from the perimeter as testified by the developer. Regarding open space, the developer stated, quote, "The proposed cluster development is superior in design. The applicant is proposing 50% open space equal to 75.5 acres, more or less," end quote. Of these 152 acres, do you see 75.5 acres or 50% of what you would call contiguous open space? Is any of it active open space? Very little, especially to meet the needs of 304 to 315 homes. This is not superior design. So the current definition of open space is poor at best and should be specifically defined as active open space to qualify as superior design. And let's be clear, stormwater ponds are utilities, not amenities or active open space. Buffers and wetlands, by definition and code, do not qualify as active open space either. And finally, density. The developer said, quote, "Coral Lakes complies with the municipal code by proposing low density," end quote. Does this look like low density? The current density calculation for a cluster subdivision does not require a prior yield plan to determine the allowable units. This should be a requirement for superior design. To end on a positive note, I want to thank the planning and zoning staff for coming out to our properties to witness the perimeter buffer infraction. They were courteous and professional, as they have always been in these matters. We hope that you will take these points under consideration. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Very good. No one else has signed up. Anybody else? Come on forward, sir. You're supposed to sign up in the back of the room. Not you, ma'am. In the back of the room, there's a place to sign up.
I was unaware that I had to sign up.
Come forward. Thank
morning. My name is Jeff Siemens. I'm a resident of Milton, Delaware and Sussex County. I'm a retired registered landscape architect, land planner, and project manager, and I spent the last 22 years of my career for a builder real estate developer in Newcastle County. I've also worked for Newcastle County Department of Planning. I'd like to read some words during my 3 minutes. They are words written in English, and they are found within your own zoning code, Chapter 115. I want to read them because I believe there are four groups that do not understand these words, and I believe that this ordinance needs to be fixed. Those four groups are builders and developers in Sussex County. The second group would be local engineering consultants. The third group would be your own planning and zoning commission. And I would say, given the approval of Carl Lakes, with all due respect, I think the fourth group that may not understand these words would be Sussex County Council. I would like to start by reading just a few highlights from this design, a cluster design ordinance. Design requirements for cluster development. Housing types in the low density area is shown on the, no, I'm sorry. All lots shall be configured to be contained completely outside of all wetlands. All wetlands. The cluster development sketch plan and the preliminary plan of the cluster subdivision provides for a total environment and design which are superior and the reasonable judgment of the Planning Commission to that which would be allowed under the regulations for standard option. Homes shall be clustered on the environmentally suitable portions of the tract, specifically those portions of the tract least encumbered by sensitive development features, including but not limited to wetlands, mature woodlands. The applicant for a cluster development shall illustrate that the following sequence and process was followed in the site design of the cluster project. Identify lands that should be preserved. First, areas worthy of preservation should be mapped. Identify developable areas next. The most appropriate areas for development should be chosen to minimize the impact to the most important features mapped in the first step. The cluster development plan will preserve the natural environment. And then it also says that the Planning and Zoning Commission may add conditions to the approval of any cluster development to protect adjacent properties. In my opinion, even though these are words in English and from your own code, they don't seem to be understood. They don't seem to be understood. And I believe that the code, the cluster development ordinance, should be ripped up, and I believe should be started from scratch. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Anybody else in the audience? Operator, would you check online, please?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via
the conference line and would like to make public comments,
dial 5-star. At this time, there is no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you. We'll close public comments. Mr. Lawson.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Two items this morning. First is the Board of Assessment Review appointment. We have a reappointment for this board. As council is aware, this board is the board that sits in review of assessment calculations that are done annually. And we have one vacancy that, not vacancy, but pending reappointment by Ms. Julie Rigby, and I believe it's Mr. Vincent's intention to reappoint. Mm-hmm. I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council reappoints Ms. Julie Rigby to the Sussex County Board of Assessment Review effective immediately for a term of 5 years or until February 2030.
Pleasure, Council.
Approved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on a motion? We'll take a vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Next.
Okay, thank you. County Administrator's Report for February 7, 2023. Item 1, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Chase Oaks Phase 2 construction record received substantial completion on February 2nd. Item 2, a reminder, Council will not meet on Tuesday, February 14th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on Tuesday, February 21st at 10 a.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. It's not quite 10:15 yet. Mr. Ashman. Come on down, sir.
That was a chuckle because Brandy was going to make me wait for her to get done. Good morning, Council. We're here this morning for the Newdale Acres expansion of the Unified Sanitary Sewer District, the Ellendale area. We're requesting permission to prepare and post notices for a public hearing. The Engineering Department received a request from Lenape Properties Management Incorporated. They're the owners and developers of the parcel 230-31-31 along Route 113 and adjacent to their existing project of Newdale Acres. The parcel was annexed into the town of Ellendale, and Sussex County provides a sanitary sewer district sewer service for the town. Parcel is also located in a Tier 2 service area and would be responsible for system connection charges of $6,600 per EDU based on current rates.
Your motion?
I do. Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Newdale Acres expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcel 230-31.00-31.00 as presented on February 7th, 2023.
Pleasure, your Council.
I make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Green.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have yet motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we got 2 minutes before Brandy comes up here. Mr. Medlars, no pressure.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, and good morning, council members. Great to see you all because we had a major COVID outbreak on the third floor, and luckily I didn't give it to any of you. So John and I were victims of it, and a few others. So following up on our tour last week, thank you for all attending the tour. It was really great. I was felt pretty good at the tour, but not later on that night. So we actually showed you a number of the items which were covered in that change order we have before you today. And the 800-pound gorilla of that change order is all the oval ductwork. You remember how some of the ovals just dip down by just a few inches to get under the steel or get around some other stuff? So that is in that change order, and it's the item number three. But I also wanted to give you the items we're still tracking. You know, whether that's the painting of the hallways in the EOC, whether it's the caulking on the outside walls, whether these are all these miscellaneous small items we're working on to try to get the two buildings together, closely working with the administration and their sort of like guidance on how we want to take this. So this will be the last, that was not the last one, but it will be the one before the last one.
Okay.
And I believe you were positively impressed with how we kept the corridors clear.
Yes.
Visually clear. So I do have a motion for the change
order. Please read your motion.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department at change order number 21 for contract C-19-04 Sussex County Public Safety Building be approved for an increase of $40,107.15.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you,
Mr. President. Informational item. We do have a coordination meeting with the town of Ellendale this afternoon, so you can see that there's a number of other items floating in the Ellendale work.
Good. Thank you, sir. It's now 10:15, time for our public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for a public hearing to discuss a community development block grant CDBG program. As part of this, there will be a presentation by Ms. Brandy Nauman, who will discuss the program with her and the block grant proposal. After that, council will have an opportunity to question her. After that, if there's any member of the public that would like to opine on this matter, please, you can come forward at that time, give your name and address, and either ask your question or make your comment. Ms. Nauman.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I'm joined this morning by our rehabilitation program coordinator, Mike Jones. He'll be up here in just a moment as well. So you've heard this before, but this is our annual public hearing on our community development block grant application. Just a little bit of background about the program. We apply for this funding every year. We apply for this funding on behalf of all various municipalities throughout Sussex County, as well as rural communities. The funding comes from HUD, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and it's funneled through the Delaware State Housing Authority, and we apply competitively against Kent County. DSHA, the Housing Authority, does govern this grant process and determine what eligible projects and activities we are able to apply for. So the way we, our guidelines sort of dictate the use of funding, we primarily use this funding for owner-occupied housing rehabilitation, which maintains our housing stock throughout Sussex County. Our housing rehabs include roofing, doors, windows, electrical and plumbing upgrades, as well as some energy upgrades. In order to qualify, a home must be owner-occupied, it must be the primary residence of the owner, it must be a low to moderate income household, 80% of the area median income or below. The home must be insured or insurable, and county taxes and utilities must be current. We do place a lien on every property that we assist, regardless of age of the beneficiary. For anything less than $15,000, we put a 5-year zero interest prorated lien. So in 5 years, it's considered satisfied. And for anything from $15,000 to $40,000 of funding that we invest, it's a 10-year zero interest prorated forgivable lien. So these are the current income guidelines for program eligibility for a two-person household, for example. They actually went up pretty substantially this year from last year. For two people, you must earn less than $53,800 for a household of two. So I think this is where, okay. So this is FY20, we just closed this grant out, which is actually the county's fiscal year 21. We received about $1.9 million in CDBG and home funding, which again was also used for housing rehab. I won't read all of those, but those are the various target areas that we were awarded funding for. We assisted 134 households, 236 individuals, all low to mod income. And the breakdown right there, significant amount of them were disabled and elderly households, female head of households, and many of them were earning less than 30% of the area median income. Most of the folks that we're helping are elderly and on fixed income. And then County Council provided an additional $250,000 to assist with emergency repairs for that. And so our current progress right now, we are powering through our fiscal year 21 and 22 funding, and we received a little over $2 million for both. With actually fiscal year 21, we are just about completely spent. We just have a couple of little remaining items to clear out. And again, each year County Council has provided emergency repair funding to leverage those dollars. And with the current year, which is County Council 23 fiscal year, we are about a third of the way spent, but we've obligated probably closer to half of that funding. And so I think this is where I turn it over to Mike, and I'll be the PowerPoint person.
I'm sure more than she said.
Yeah. Talk about our current year, what we've done so far. With the contractors, this situation is a competitive market we're in right now with dealing with all the other building going on in the county. It affects us as well as anybody else in the county that's trying to get a contractor to bid on a job. Luckily, we're doing as well as we've ever done. I was telling Brandy, I've been doing this 25 years, and I feel like we're the best this year than we've ever been as far as contractors getting stuff done, even with everything going on in the market right now. Finding new contractors, we're always in a market for new contractors, especially HVAC guys, plumbers, electricians. They're the hardest ones. And if you talk to any general contractor out there, everybody's having the same problem, finding enough good people to work for you. The project delays, our biggest big delay right now is windows, getting a windows. It takes 6 to 8 weeks to get windows in. And then sometimes they just tell you to be in tomorrow, which if you look at a calendar, there's never a tomorrow on the calendar. So that's some of the issues we're having. And it cost increases. Brandy was saying that they have upgraded some of our money that we've been receiving. Some of our different projects, we can go up to $40,000 of that. And not that we're getting a whole lot more done, we just, everything costs so much more. The cost alone, just with labor costs, and then the cost of the product, it's tremendous. Just let you see a few houses we've done. And some of you probably in your town, you maybe know these houses are. This is one right in Seaford. This is a woman, a single mother with a couple kids. And siding had blown off this one. The right side picture had blown off the house years ago. Keeping this house warm was just about impossible with the type siding had on there. So we come back with that and did some work for her, did some windows and some siding. This is what it ended up looking like. Tremendous difference in the house. Like we all know, a lot of times with these older people and they have grandchildren or raised or whatever, and you can't keep a house warm, so you just start going down to smaller rooms, end up living like in 2 rooms the whole house. And we allowed them to live in their whole house with after we got done doing this job. She's very happy. This is a great job we've worked on this year. This is a lady, she's deaf. She lives in the town of Silverville. And we've been trying to help her for a while now, trying to get everything going on her. She has some issues. But she had no carpet, no vinyl in the house, all just plywood floors in the house. She had a skylight that was leaking so bad, she had a big trash can underneath that, and it rained in it every time. So, and then she had a lot of issues besides that. That's just a couple to touch on. And then we come back, and we did some work on her house, and then there she is, tickled to death.
Can I just add, too, because this was... did require, we arranged for interpretation, American Sign Language interpretation for our contractors as well as for our office to go out there. And we had a really great partnership with a volunteer from St. Vincent de Paul Society who has worked with her for a long time to make sure that this could get done. There were some deed issues with the property, so she was very excited to finally get our help, and it was a great story.
Because there was a couple times there where you weren't sure if that was going to happen or not. This house is outside of Greenwood, just north of north of town. An elderly person, just another issue with can't keep the house warm. Everything he did to keep the house warm enough, his handicap, his handy ramp was falling apart as well. And we come in with some siding and some windows and a new ramp for him, everything, and just made a tremendous difference to the house. Because y'all know is what we can't do. We can't go inside and try to tear out walls and try to insulate that way. It's much, much better to go from the outside, put some half-inch foam on the outside, get our value there, the new siding there, and the windows. It makes a big difference. This is a project we had. A gentleman, this family had a fire. They have a husband, wife, 5 kids, lived in a single wide home. They had a fire. The insurance only paid for so much to fix the house back up. They got this far, did some roll roofing on the roof, and did some what they could outside. The plywood floors of the house had so much gaps in that, it couldn't keep the house warm. So we come inside, did floors and the siding and the skirting and the roof and everything. And this is right at Christmas time. Couldn't have been a better time. And they had a great Christmas because of that, be able to get this work done. And it was awesome. And they were very happy with everything went on there. So. Great, great job.
Okay. I wanted to give you a quick little update about the leveraging that we're doing with those federal dollars that we're getting. Thank you again to County Council, who has increased our emergency repair funding to have $300,000. I can't tell you how nice it is to have that flexible funding to really leverage against the federal funding that we have and just really be able to assist with emergency repairs like heater repair and replacement, busted pipes for plumbing issues, dangerous electrical situations. All of that funding goes to help those situations. You also granted us an additional $500,000 that we have devoted for similar repairs using the ARPA funding. We have, I think, less than $100,000 left of that funding right now, so we're getting through that as well. And then, as you know, we just recently approved the workforce housing ordinance, the new housing trust fund, and again, the additional ARPA funding, which is being used to help with tax issues, sewer connections, and then the emergency repairs. And again, just what your funds are being used for is all those emergency type of things, handicap accessibilities, severe leaking roofs. We do try to prioritize individuals with disabilities, those over 65, and really low income households. And this just gives you a sense of how those funds, the emergency council dollars, are being used. A lot of times it's for plumbing, some electrical, just some general quick repairs, and heaters and ramps. This is just what we've used those dollars on and the funding that we've been given. Mike and I were just talking about this, that it may look a little, we're still in the progress of this year's funding. You've allowed us to go up a little bit more to spend on emergency repairs for $10,000 a case. As Mike mentioned, that's not really allowing us to do much more. It's basically just to counter some of the product price increases. So it may not look as though we're helping as many people. It's just the cost of things have really increased, but we're still working through that funding this year. And to get into this year's grant application, so we start this process in October. We work with Mr. Lawson, and Nicole in our office sends out letters to every municipality in Sussex County to offer our assistance with applying for them for this grant. We follow up with emails and letters and calls to try to get them to participate. And so we went to, I believe, 13 different municipalities this year to have public hearings, 11 public hearings, and then including today's, and we had our advisory board meeting. We really stressed this year, we had this come up last year if you remember, waiting list is a really important component to the application process. We have to be able to demonstrate a need in every town that we're applying for. So the state requires us to have a minimum of 4 people on our waiting list for every area that we're applying for, and we have really struggled with getting towns to assist us with getting those names. This year we sort of went above and beyond. We actually put several ads in newspapers throughout the county, in sort of not the normal legalese that we put out there, but a very layman's version of our advertisement, inciting people to please apply if you live within town limits. And we just have really had a hard time getting those, and we know there's a need. So there's a few towns that we actually weren't even able to apply for, even though we went to a public hearing, because they just weren't able to get us and help us get that waiting list where we needed it to be, unfortunately.
Brandy,
yes.
Is that why, I've seen Georgetown Millsboro on there in the previous years, but not this year?
Correct.
Is that because they didn't have enough people on the waiting list?
They actually, Georgetown and Millsboro did not elect to even do a public hearing this year, so we did not even present. This year it was Melford and Blades that we went to, and then they were not able to move forward with an application because they did not have sufficient demand on their waiting list.
Is the application process cumbersome? Or
for me, but not for them. So the only thing that we require of the towns is to basically, they are required to pay for the advertisement for the public hearing. We have the public hearing at one of their already scheduled town council meetings. It's not a special meeting. And then we do everything else. They just have to sign some paperwork. We handle the waiting lists. We handle all of the eligibility of the applicants. It's a very minimal effort on the town's part, at least in my opinion. We do all of the actual application work and preparation and all of that. So it is really disappointing, and we have talked about this a lot in our office of how we can make sure that we really do some outreach in advance of the letters going out to make sure that towns understand what's available to them and what, you know, they're missing out on.
Give me a heads up. I'll bring it up.
Will do. Yes, will do. And then we also worked with our advisory committee, and sort of we have this sort of rotational system of the rural communities that we're helping, our impacted communities. We did a study a few years ago. If you remember, there are 14 that we target, and so you'll see the list of those as well. Okay, and so you can, this is hard to see, I'm sorry, but we have elected to, this year we're going to be doing, as far as our rural communities, Cool Spring, which is just outside of Milton and Lewis off of Route 9, Coverdale Crossroads in Bridgeville, Greentop, which is a little area outside of Lincoln, and then rural Ellendale, which incorporates South Old State Road and the New Hope community. And we hope to actually continue to help some of our engineering colleagues as well, just to make sure with the water district, helping make sure that those homeowners have quality heating systems and to protect the new water connections as well. So this is our recommended list of areas that we plan to seek funding for. You should have sort of the more formal application in your packet, but these are the towns: Bridgeville, Del Mar, Ellendale, Frankfurt, Greenwood, Laurel, Milton, Seaford, and Selbyville. Again, we went to all of these towns and sought their input and approval. The larger towns with larger waiting lists were applying for a little bit more funding. The other towns are smaller and don't have as much of a demand based on their waiting list, so that's why their funding is a little bit less for a request. As I mentioned, these are the four rural communities, and then we will continue to hopefully get funding for handicap accessibility, which includes accessible showers, and ramps and that sort of thing. Widened doorways, scattered emergency is additional funding that we get through the state for emergency repairs, hookups, connections to public water and sewer systems, and then scattered rehab and roofing, which means we can kind of use that in any unincorporated areas for various projects. So this is the total cost. Program activity is $1.7 million. The state has allowed us to seek $250,000 in administration, which we would have to match that. And based on prior years, this is the recommended match, and for a total program cost of $2.3 million. So I'll pause there if there's any questions or comments.
I have a quick question.
Sure.
Mr. Schaefer.
The wean periods you mentioned, is that just those are placed on the properties and make sure the client's not profiteering if they sell?
Exactly. So we don't want to improve a property, have them flip it, and yes.
So it's fully forgiven after that?
Yes. Wean period. There's no payments, there's no interest or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I would say, as usual, a great job by your department and you. Mike and everybody involved.
Thank you.
Very good.
There's probably, I won't speak on this council. None of us have had to live like that.
Yeah.
And to realize that what you're doing really is you're affecting their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're affecting their life and giving them a better opportunity. And for that, we thank you. And
yep.
I know our money is well spent, the federal money is well spent, and we will continue, I'm sure, to support that in the way you need us to do that.
Thank you.
I'd also say if there are towns that we need to talk to a little harder, we can undertake that project too.
Okay. Sounds so noted.
I'm sure most towns out there, at least from the middle over to the west, could use help.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Any questions of council? I bet you got a motion.
I do.
Well, we need to have the public hearing first. Yes.
I'm going to have to approve this thing.
That's right. You're in a hurry. Okay. Thank you, Brandy. Is there anyone here today that would like to comment on this program? Is there anyone in the room that would like to comment? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
If anyone can join the conference line, someone like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to speak on this matter, dial 5-star. time, there is no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. Council desires closed public record.
Close the public hearing. We'll give council closed public record. And I guess what you have is resolutions.
I do. So I don't know if, Mr. Moore, am I permitted to just read the short title, or do you want me to read
the short title?
Yes.
Okay. So for the first resolution I have for you, which should be in your packet as well, is related to affirmatively furthering fair housing.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Next, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, the second and last one that I have for you is the authorization to submit applications.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Second. Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yes. Mr. Carey.
Thank
you and your staff.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Randy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The White House. And your assistant.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I'm joined by Mr. Robertson this morning. We have three items on the agenda. The first is the discussion and potential introduction of an ordinance related to a master plan zone. And council may remember this from the presentation that Mr. Robertson and I gave at the December 13th of last year county council meeting. We don't propose to repeat that presentation for you, but I can yield to Mr. Robertson to provide some updates on the progress that we've made since that presentation.
So you scared me when you said there's three items, and I realized that one of those is the rollout of the digital stuff, which I don't have anything to do with, so for me it's two. So this one, as Mr. Whitehouse said, is the official start of the master plan zone ordinance. We've spent quite a bit of time working on that. We've made presentations to you all, so I'm not going to go through what it does. The updates, I would say, in our code right now, we have in Article 17, there's what's called a vacation retirement residential park district that actually is a closed district, so nobody could rezone to that now, and we don't have any of those districts anywhere in the county. So we thought this would be, using the Sam Wilson rule, we'd take out something and put something in. So we deleted that chapter, that article, not the chapter, that article, in its entirety and plugged this in, and it actually fit pretty well in its place. It's the same as what we mentioned to you in previous presentations. One thing that I don't know that we specifically went over, because it was a later clarification and sort of a placeholder that we had, was that we did want to further the conversation about affordable housing through this program. And so one of the requirements for an MPZ is that 20% of all multifamily dwellings shall be set aside as SCRP units governed by Chapter 72, so that if you're going to utilize this program, that you do have to provide an affordable housing element within it. Again, there's a lot in here. What we'd like to do is get this ordinance introduced so that we can start the conversations, get good feedback, make any improvements, changes, et cetera, that we need to do. It does need to go through plus,
right.
So we will do that. And unless there's any questions, what I'd like to do is read the short title and get it introduced.
I have a question.
Sure.
Line 447 says that the plan shall include a master transportation plan approved by DLDOT. Does that give DLDOT the authority to shut this down?
No, what we were looking for with that is actually to avoid DLDOT shutting it down. Because if we're going to have roadways within the master plan that are going to be state maintained at some point, we don't want to have those built first, and then every time you do a little neighborhood off that street, you got to get another entrance permit. Which that would be death by a thousand cuts. So the idea with that is to make it so that DLDOT signs off on the whole thing all at once. Just like they would do now with an entrance permit or an entrance plan, but they do it for the whole development.
Well, I'm all for DLDOT approving this, but it just seems, I'm not an attorney, but does that not give them the opportunity, if they decide to be unreasonable, to just blow the whole thing up?
It would give them some oversight on safety of the roads, the curves, the angles, where the entrances are.
It says the word shall in there, but just something to think
about. Yeah, and that may be something that we change. Mr. Schaefer, that's a good point and one that we need to keep in mind, but I'd like to get it introduced today, that in mind. And it may be the changing the word shall to may, or changing the reference to approval by DLDOT, so that DLDOT doesn't have veto power over this. No, that's a good point. So,
why don't you read the short title?
I will do that. This one is actually fairly short compared to some.
It is. Yes, it is.
It's a big program in a short title.
That's
oh yeah, right. I wasn't going to read it wrong. An ordinance to delete Chapter 115, Article 17, Vacation Retirement Residential Park District, Sections 115-132 through 115-140 in its entirety, and to insert Article 17, Master Plan Zone, Section 115-132 through 115-140 in its place.
Am I going to introduce it?
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson introduced it. Next.
Okay, then, well, go ahead if you want to.
I'll provide a short summary, and then, again, Mr. Robertson can explain. So this is a discussion and potential introduction of a proposed ordinance related to solar farm conditional uses. And, again, I can yield to Mr. Robertson to explain this to you.
This is a real simple one also. As you know, and you're maybe seeing, we've had a quite a bit of solar farm applications come through, planning and zoning. I think some are still on their way to you after going through planning and zoning. What planning and zoning and staff and I talked about is basically just codifying the conditions that we have been imposing on those. There's a standard set of conditions, and rather than just reinvent the wheel each time that we have an application, make them all the same. And there is, you know, sort of a basis for doing that. We have the same thing for borrow pits. If you look in the code now, there's a standard set of conditions for borrow pits. This actually borrowed from some of those standard conditions, including ones that we put on solar farms. You know, just to go over it, it includes specific separation distances from roads and property lines from dwellings of other ownership. From signage including identification of the operator of the use and contact information in case of emergency, fencing that's secured, and also a decommissioning plan. So when the whole thing goes away, there's some plan for you know, what's going to be in place to return that property to farmland or, you know, undeveloped land, basically pull out the solar panels that are no longer in use. You know, we've had some folks in the industry review that up to this point, review this proposed ordinance, and they've given it a general thumbs up. Obviously, we'd like to take it through the hearing process and see where it goes. I would say I'd be surprised if there's a lot of material objection to it, because, again, it does mirror what the commission and you all have been imposing anyway on these.
And it doesn't stop the council from imposing additional conditions.
No, that's correct.
If they choose to.
That's correct.
Or PNCs.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And it doesn't, because it does, so it is in line with the approvals that have been placed already or have been approved, it's not something that we see in any way that, you know, creates additional unnecessary hurdles for solar, you know, generation in Sussex County.
Okay.
Quick question on that.
Yes, sir.
Is your provision for bonding upon?
We did not put a provision for bonding in there. It's more general than that, because you know, there's just multiple different ways of doing it. The main thing is we require that there be a decommissioning plan that includes a financial security sufficient to ensure that funds are available for the decommissioning and removal. The reason we said that, and it may be that an applicant proposes a bond, it may be that it's dealt with contractually between the landowner and the solar operator. We wanted to give some flexibility in that. I mean, we could, you know, as it goes through the public hearing process, we can definitely add a bond if council desires. And that would be maintained probably by your office or somebody in engineering.
Would you read the short title?
I will certainly do that. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 24, and that's in Roman numerals, Section 115-172, and Article 25, again in Roman numerals, Section 115-194.5, to add provisions for special requirements for solar farm conditional uses.
Anybody want to introduce it?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer introduces it. Okay.
Thank you. And just going forward, I would imagine you all will see the solar one before you see the master plan one, because that's, we're going to wait and see what we get back from PLUS on that. It'll go through planning and zoning. I don't know that we'll schedule the hearing at council before we get it all done at planning and zoning, just because we don't know how long that process will take, depending on what input we get.
Have a guesstimate of how long that might be?
Solar ordinance, we can move forward to council by April time, so relatively quickly. The MPZ ordinance, we will not receive plus comments back until middle of March. That being said, we can start to think about timetabling perhaps in March in anticipation of those comments. So.
That's great.
And in the meantime, the solar one, that won't impact anybody who wishes to apply for solar.
Well, thank you both very much, and I guess now, Mr. Whitehouse, you could sit down, and Mr. Robert can explain to us the new document management software.
That will be a very short presentation. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. Mr. President, a third item is a demonstration of the new document management software, and I'm joined this morning by Ms. DeVore and Mrs. Scott from the Planning and Zoning Office. I very much wanted them to be a part of this. I think they're sitting in the back of the room. They can come up to the front and join in celebrating this new software. Council may remember back in December of 2021, we're going through the RFP process, and we had 26 vendors, and council selected from those 26 vendors Vercevo to deliver and be the vendor for the managed software, document management software. Staff started work on this in January of 2022, working with Vercevo, and it has been a real team effort with colleagues from IT, Planning and Zoning, and the Geographic Information Office, all working together with Vercevo to teach them our way of processing applications. And I wanted to recognize Mrs. Scott and Mr. Vaughan in particular, because they work very closely with Vercevo, and we have an excellent working relationship with them in terms of exchange of information and speed of delivery. And we were able to put this together in about 6 months. And on July 1st of last year, staff started entering data into the system. So we've had a full 6 months of data entry into the system, and now all new documents coming into the Planning and Zoning Department for application are being entered into this system. And I can show you on the screens how it operates. So this is a web interface that members of the public, once activated, members of the public will be able to navigate to it through links on our website. And they will arrive on this page first of all. And the overall vision for the landing page is we wanted it to work like an airport departure board. That was the vision. And that's how it's been designed. The first page that you land on shows a calendar. And you can move through the calendar, and you can look at previous months, and you can look at the current month and future months, and you can see what has been scheduled and what's being processed. And if you look, for example, today, for example, if you look at February 7th, you can see that there are blue dots for County Council, yellow dots for Board of Adjustment, and red dots for the Planning and Zoning Commission. And if you click on the date, it shows you those applications, and you can click on those applications. And you can also see on the right, there's a list based on the month showing the applications that are coming forward. But you can click to see what's coming up, and then the page loads, and it shows you a map of where the application is located. It shows you a summary of the application, and it provides basic level application information in the same way that our postcards work at the moment. And it also shows you what meetings it's being considered at and provides links to those meetings. And it also shows you documents that have been received. And instead of showing you one singular packet with a large PDF with hundreds, if not sometimes thousands of pages, it breaks it down into individual documents. So you can search for and locate the individual documents. You can search by date, by type. You can refine and you can search. So if I just wanted to, for example, say there were hundreds of documents here, I can just click over here and type the word maps, and it will refine. And this is very customizable, and it's very easy to work. You can search by maps, and it only shows you those maps. And then if I click on the individual document with the application, it shows you a map to that individual application. It is different to how council interacts with their packets at the moment. That being said, there are other ways to navigate to information. So if you're a member of the public and you're searching for an application in a particular area, you don't have to use this calendar search function. You can go into the docket search, and you can zoom in, and you can look at pending applications, and it shows you map points across the county. You see these map points? Each of these is clickable. You can refine. You can put your own filters in, your own searches. So you don't have to search for pending. You could put a search in for determined applications. You could search within specific time frames. You can search by particular bodies, or you can search by application type. So if I wanted to look at change of zone applications that are pending that have been received in the last 5 years, it will filter the results on the right and show me those change of zone applications. But this is something our website does not do at the moment, is that it will show you map points for those change of zone applications. And if I pick one in particular, This is Osprey Point, which council haven't seen yet, so I won't go into the specifics, but it will show you, and if you're a member of the public and you're tracking this application, you can see what that application is, you can see its progress for the Planning and Zoning Commission, you can see the documents, and then this is a new feature. It shows the individual comments to the public, so the folks no longer need to come into the Planning and Zoning Office and request to view the file to see those comments, and they no longer have to wait until staff compile them and put them in the paperless packet. They can see them in real time, and the applicants can see them in real time as well. So you can click on a comment, and you can click on a comment attachment, and it will show you that comment that's been received. The other major change, if I jump back to the calendar, and if I look at applications for this Thursday, this is how an agenda looks at the moment. So if a member of the public is looking at an agenda, and if council or the public want to download documents from agenda, there's a series of hyperlinks that go to the packet, and then we have one large paperless packet, which is sometimes hundreds of pages, if not thousands of pages. So now the new way of interacting with the packet, and if I go back, it's too quick for it. I managed to crash it. There we go. This is a new agenda management software that we're working with Vercevo, and Vercevo have provided the software that replicates our entire agenda process at the moment. So you can see on the left, you can see the agenda and you can see the list of items. This is actually the Planning and Zoning Commission's agenda for this Thursday of this week. So it looks a little bit different to your council agendas, but you can see the other business items are there. And if you click on the other business item, you can see on the right, it jumps to the documents. So if I'm a commissioner or if I'm a member of the public, I can see the plans and it calls them up. And you can go back to the meeting, and then you can see there's old business and there's items there. And if there's a public hearing on the agenda and you want to look at a document that's coming in for as part of the packet for that, you can click on there and it shows you the application documents. So here's the plans for one of the items for Thursday. You can view those plans and you can view individual documents. And again, if you want to look at the public comments, it will jump you. Actually, there's a link there that doesn't work in that document, but it will jump you back into the land use docket and show you those public comments. A new feature that we wish to bring online as part of this as well is that if you're a member of the public and you're looking at a particular application, so if I just pick one at random from this Thursday, and if you click on comments, while you're reading the comments and if you want to add a comment, you can submit the comment using our online form. And we ask folks to tell us, are you in support, are you neutral, or are you in opposition? That allows us to count comments better and to group them if we need to. And instead of submitting a paper comment or mailing and emailing it in or faxing it in, you can submit it through this portal and it comes straight to staff, straight into the system. And that allows us to process comments much more efficiently than we have in the past. It alleviates the need to scan them and put them in, and it alleviates all the staff time associated with that. But in a nutshell, Mr. President, that's the system, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. So,
but it certainly looks like Mr. Schaefer.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. It is impressive.
Good work.
Thank you.
I'm sure a lot of staff time went to enter all the documentation. It's a better way for the public to enter their stuff versus how we have to do it now. But the only question I have, you referenced earlier about at the airport, the board there. I assume we're talking about a few weeks ago with the Southwest Airlines line, not like that.
No. These are all flights that are working well.
Okay. Just checking on that. That's good. Any questions, Council? Great job on your staff. Great job. Thank you all for doing that. It's going to be. I'm sure the public going to really appreciate this.
Thank you,
Mr. President. So, just a comment. We're going to roll this out using the Planning and Zoning Commission as our test model. And then eventually we're going to especially use the agenda for county council and that feature you just saw towards your packet information and updating that. I've had a number of you provide feedback of how chunky and clunky the packet is with these PDFs. This eventually will replace all of that. So we're going to run it through a test with P&Z and then give us a few weeks, and then we're going to segue over to county council as well.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you
all very much.
Thanks.
Mr. Moore, introduction, proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have three. The first one is in your district, Mr. President, an ordinance granting conditional use of land in a GR, general residential district, for a solar farm on a 17.45-acre portion, more or less, of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 29.45 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
The next one is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance granting conditional use of land in the AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 28.81 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the last one is in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in the AR1 agricultural residential district for a solar farm to be located on certain parts of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 15.97 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Council member comments.
I have a comment, Mr. President.
Mrs. Green.
In the last week, we've had the issue and topic of, ethics and code of conduct form as it relates to council members. I have made the public statement that I opted not to sign the form, and the reason for me not signing the form was because it came from the HR department. It is my position that it needs to come from the county council, that it would either be an ordinance or a vote of some kind that would come from the council, require us, and then it would require our boards that represent us to sign this form. I have no conflicts of interest personally, and I will answer to the constituents in my district that I have no conflicts, and I cannot sign the form the way it is. If we can bring it back to the council for a vote, then I will sign the form. And we can do it how we want. We can wait till next year when it comes up again, and maybe between now and next year we can say, put on the agenda or whatever, so we can bring it back to the council for a vote. Leave it like it is for now if you care to do that. But until it comes from the council with the vote, I cannot say that.
Thank you. Just so we're all aware of this, this request for this document came from county council. It didn't come administration, it didn't come HR. It's after we had a meeting a few years ago with the same lady that talked to us last week and brought that subject up. We asked for them to develop some kind of form. Council was totally supportive of that. And until now, all the council has signed that document, which I think you did last year.
I signed it last year.
Same document, same, and up by it all. So the public's aware of this. This request for the document came from the county council to administration and HR to develop the form for us, which we all agreed to, and started signing them. So that's, anybody else?
Hi.
Mr. Hudson.
A couple years ago, I talked about our forested buffers. And I think it's time that we look into this and get some teeth into it, especially with Jill's presentation today. I talked about trees of a certain size that are inside the forested buffer, they can't be touched. And number two, I want to put some teeth in it and add to this, and if someone goes in and clear cuts the forested buffer, they have to wait 5 years before they develop it. I think that that's something that we should get serious and look at and put some teeth into this ordinance, because I don't know that by planting a forested buffer after you've clear cut it with saplings that are 3/4 of an inch in diameter that take 50 or 60 years to develop is a forested buffer. And then half of them are going to die anyway because they don't get enough water. So, but that's where I want to go with this.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
I would. Oh. Yes. I'd like to second Councilman Hudson's comments. I was outraged by what I saw this morning, and if that's not a violation of the ordinance, then the ordinance is flawed. It's not what I envisioned when we passed it, and it's problematic. It needs teeth. I'd like to see these loopholes closed, and I think there's more than one, and I'd like to see it done quickly. I'm just really very disappointed with what I saw this morning. And I've been out to the property and seen it myself, and it's not what I had envisioned when we had these discussions a couple years ago. So,
anyone else? I got some good news side.
Good.
Just want to comment publicly that last week we had an incident in this county where a gentleman was into a container of sand up to his shoulders, and all of our emergency operation departments, between the EOC, the fire service, the EMS service, county services, technical rescue teams were on site. It was a 6-hour operation to remove that gentleman. And I understand he might come home today from the hospital. So a lot of times we don't brag on our people enough and the whole fire service enough, but with a great job they did.
Good point.
And had a call from a friend of mine in Rehoboth yesterday just to remind me of something. And I thought there again, we take a lot of things for granted sometimes. He said, Mike, just want to remind you that 16 years ago today, I dropped dead. And your paramedics saved my life and I'm here today. I mean, they do great work. They do a great job that we give them the tools they need to work with, but I think our paramedics are it's best in the country, and we need to brag on everybody a little more than we do sometimes. So, any more comments? We'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mrs. Green, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We're now at executive session for land acquisition. Yes. I assume.